Today is the Sunday within the active of the Ascension. Coming up also on Monday, August 31st, St. Pius V will have its 9th annual golf outing. The golf tournament, all the proceeds from the golf tournament benefit St. Pius V School of the Building Fund. And if you're interested, please make your reservations as soon as possible. There are flyers available in the vestibule. Also coming up this next Saturday, it is the Vigil of Pentecost. And since it is the Vigil of Pentecost, it is a day of fast and partial abstinence. This means that those who are between the ages of 21 and 59 are allowed one main meal and two lighter meals, and eating between meals is forbidden. And those who are ages 7 and older are allowed only meat once on that day, and that may be taken only at the main meal for adults. The rules of fast and abstinence can be found in the back of the Roman Catholic calendar. And finally, I would just like to let you know about something with the electronics recycling program we do here. Many of you have been bringing in your computers and televisions and monitors and putting them in the electronics recycling bin downstairs in the tennis court. From now on, we can only take computers. So please do not bring your old televisions or your computer monitors to the bin, but your computers only from now on. The epistle appointed to be read for the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4. Dearly beloved, be prudent, therefore, and watch in prayers. But before all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one towards another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Let's take it from the Gospel of St. John, chapters 15 and 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me, and you shall give testimony because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues, yea, the hour cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth a service to God. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember what I told you of them." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. These words are taken from the book of Judith, chapter 23. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Throughout the history of the Israelites, my dear friends, as recorded in the books of the Old Testament, the chosen people often fell away from God. They turned away from him, and they began to worship pagan idols. To punish their sins, then, God often allowed the Israelites to be conquered in battles, and on several occasions, he even permitted them to be taken into captivity. Such was the case about 650 years before the birth of Christ. After a brief time of repentance and penance, the chosen people again forgot God. And God, in his just anger, sent them a new and terrible punishment, a punishment which, according to one author, would have ended in the total destruction of the Jewish nation, had it not been for the heroic courage of a certain holy woman. You see, at this time, the king of the Assyrians had just won a great battle against the very powerful king of the Medes. And after defeating the Medes, the Assyrian king sent messengers to all the kingdoms of the east, including the kingdom of Israel. The king sent messengers to these other kingdoms to proclaim the great news of his victory and to receive gifts and honors for the victory. But all of the nations, including the Israelites, refused to pay the Assyrian king this homage. The king was outraged by what he considered to be a grave dishonor, and thus he sought revenge on all these kingdoms. The king then summoned a council of war and devised a plan to conquer all the nations that refused to honor him. A skilled Assyrian general named Holofernes was chosen to lead the assault. At the head of an immense army then, numbering 132,000, Holofernes set out to conquer all the kingdoms of the ancient Middle East. He went forth, we read in the book of Judith, with all the army, with the chariots and horsemen and archers. And they covered the face of the earth like locusts. One by one, the great cities of the ancient Middle East fell to Holofernes. He destroyed towns, enslaved women and children, and burned crops as he laid waste to all in his path. His reputation of savage cruelty and brutality spread throughout the land, and many nations were overcome with fear. So great was their fear that a number of cities surrendered to the fierce general. And soon Holofernes and the Assyrian army entered the land of Palestine and stood before the walls of the Hebrew city of Bethulia. The Israelites were terrified, but they refused to surrender. They were determined to defend Bethulia and Jerusalem, which would surely fall if Bethulia was lost. The Israelites repented of their idolatry and did penance, even as they fervently prayed to God that he would spare them and strengthen them for battle. They then armed themselves and prepared to defend the city. Holofernes, however, had a different strategy in mind. Before launching his attack, he cut off Bethulia's water supply and encamped around the city. And after a few days, the Israelites began to panic. They thought it would be better to surrender to Holofernes than to die of thirst. And thus the leaders of Israel decided that if help did not come in 5 days, they would surrender. Now there lived in the city a young widow named Judith. She was known for her great wealth and remarkable beauty, as well as for her holiness and virtue. And when she heard that the leaders were planning to surrender, she went to them and rebuked them. She rebuked them for setting a time limit on the power of God. Have confidence, she urged them. Have confidence, for our God will humble all the nations that shall rise up against us and bring them to disgrace. Judith then told the leaders of the city what she would do to prove that God was with them. She had a plan. And although the rulers of Bethulia did not know what she had in mind, they nevertheless placed their confidence in her. Judith then returned to her home and prayed that God would strengthen her, even as she besought him to grant her success in the dangerous work she was about to undertake. Then, putting on her finest clothes and richest jewelry, things which she had not worn since the death of her husband, she sneaked out of the city with one of her maidservants. She left Bethulia and she headed towards the Assyrian camp. There she asked to speak to the general, and was immediately taken to the tent of Holofernes. When Holofernes saw her, he was stunned by her great beauty, and he readily listened to what she had to say. Judith explained to him that she had fled her city to escape the cruelty of his soldiers when the city should fall. And after hearing Judith's explanation, Holofernes felt sorry for her, and he commanded that a tent be given to her and her maidservants. He permitted Judith to come and go as she pleased. A few nights later, Holofernes held a magnificent banquet for the officers in his army, and he invited Judith as well. At the feast, Holofernes drank too much wine and thus fell into a deep sleep. As soon as all the guests had left the feast, Judith knelt down on the ground and began to pray. Strengthen me, O Lord. Strengthen me that I may act according to your will. Then rising to her feet, she quietly picked up the sword of Holofernes, and with one swing she cut off his head. Judith quickly put the severed head into a bag and hurried back to Bethulia with her maid. The Israelites welcomed her with great joy, and this joy was turned to shouts of exultation when she showed them the head of Holofernes. At first light the next morning, then, the Israelites, fired with a new courage, charged the Assyrian army. The Assyrians went to inform Holofernes of the attack, but opening the tent flap, they found him dead. Panic-stricken, the Assyrians fled for their lives, and it was thus through the hands of a woman that God saved his chosen people from the wrath of the Assyrians. And for the rest of her life, Judith was respected as the most valiant of all men and women in the land. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, it was said of her. Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. This past Wednesday, my dear friends, we celebrated the 98th anniversary of Our Lady's first apparition at Fatima, Portugal in 1917. The year 1917 was a crucial point in the history of the world. It was crucial because in that year, a revolution broke out. A revolution that has affected virtually the entire world. On April 16, 1917, Nikolai Lenin and Leon Trotsky, two of the most evil men who have ever lived, arrived in Petrograd, Russia. And there they engineered the communist Russian Revolution. In the name of freedom, Lenin overthrew the government and established the godless and diabolical Communist Soviet Union. Tens of millions of innocent people were murdered by the revolutionaries to ensure complete communist control. And thus it was at this pivotal time, at this time when the devil and his agents were hard at work, Our Lady appeared to strengthen and warn her children. And she did this in a series of six apparitions. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared at Fatima to three children, Lucia dos Santos, Francisco Marto, and Jacinta Marto. And in the course of these apparitions, Our Lady revealed a number of important events. She foretold the end of World War I, which was raging hotly in Europe at the time. She prophesied the coming of World War II. And she predicted that Russia would spread its evils, that the diabolical communist doctrines would plague the world. Our Lady then gave the world the solution to those troubled times. This is what she said in her apparition on July 13, 1917. She said, "Our Lord wishes to establish throughout the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If people will do what I tell you, many souls will be saved and there will be peace in the world." My dear friends, like the people living in 1917, we too are living at a very crucial time in history. For never before has there been such a revolution as there is today. The communist Russian Revolution of 1917, wicked as it was, cannot compare with the open revolt and warfare launched today against God and religion. As Lenin established the communist Soviet government in 1917, the political leaders of today, in the name of freedom, are working to establish a world government, a government which excludes God, religion, and morality. Atheism and unbelief are spreading rapidly across the world. And this rapid spread is aided chiefly by godless professors in a number of colleges and universities. Impurity is an epidemic which is infecting and spiritually killing millions of souls, even as unnatural vice is turning our society into another Sodom and Gomorrah. And sadly, our own country is on the verge of making this vile sin, this sin that cries to heaven for vengeance, our country's on the verge of making it a quote-unquote right, as if such a thing can even be called a right. And as if this all were not enough, the enemy of Christianity, Islam, is again on the rise. The Muslims are again rising with renewed vigor and brutality as they seek to fulfill the command of their false god Allah, that is to destroy Christianity and Western civilization as we know it. There is no question about it. As the devil and his agents were hard at work in 1917, they are again working and working even harder for the damnation of as many souls as possible today. We are indeed living in difficult times. But the solution to this crisis, my dear friends, is clear. It is the same solution our Heavenly Mother gave at Fatima in 1917. The solution is devotion to her Immaculate Heart. You see, devotion to the Immaculate Heart is not just something nice that Catholics do. It is absolutely essential for the salvation of our souls, especially in these troubled times. For we are surrounded. We are surrounded by the enemies of God and the enemies of our salvation, just as the Israelites were surrounded by Holofernes and the Assyrian army. But as the Israelites were saved by the hands of the holy woman Judith, so too will we be saved by the immaculate hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Like Judith, Our Lady has a plan that we do not know about. And as the Israelites trusted Judith, we must have the utmost confidence that Our Lady will help us save our soul and bring us out of this crisis in which we are living. Renew today, then, your determination to be a devoted child of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pray the Rosary every day with attention and devotion. Wear her brown scapular and make the five first Saturdays. When you really think about Our Lady is not asking for much. The first Saturday devotion is only one Saturday a month and is easily done. I know some of you might have to work on Saturday mornings, and others might live a considerable distance from the chapel. But if something is important to you, you will find a way to do it. Thus, if Our Lady is important in your life, you will find a way to make it here to the chapel on this one Saturday of the month. And you can be sure that any sacrifice you make will not go unrewarded by Our Lady. My dear friends, as Isaac of the Old Testament was a type or prefigure of Christ, so too was Judith a type or prefigure of Our Lady. The Church even applies to the Blessed Virgin these words that were spoken to Judith after she was victorious over Holofernes. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem. Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. The Blessed Virgin Mary is indeed the glory of heaven, which is the new Jerusalem. She is the joy of Christendom, and she is the honor of Catholics. And no matter what happens in this world, in the end, as Judith cut off the head of Holofernes and secured victory for the Israelites, in the end, Our Lady will sever the head of Satan once and for all, and she will secure our victory. For in the end, her immaculate heart will triumph. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.